from birth. Being trained from birth doesn't make you any more qualified, Arik retorts from the right, Traeger at his side. Any of you truly excited at the prospect of being led by Haldin? Kat crinkles her nose. Valid argument, Traeger points out. Wait, is it just me or did Kat actually grin at him? Not just you, Andarna notes. Let me see the arms. Traeger moves to stand in front of Zayden and me. And yep, Kat totally tracks the movement. I slip my left arm free of my flight jacket as Zayden does the same with his. My face puckers in a grimace when the blood-stained bandage catches on the cut beneath. I tug gently to remove it, and a bead of blood rises from the center of the cut, directly between the 6 stitches Traeger sewed into my skin yesterday. Looks good, Traeger notes, lowering his head to my arm, and I bite back a smile when I spot a mouth-shaped bruise on the side of his neck. No infection, no swelling. He frowns at the last stitch, which is doing its best to tug straight through my skin. That one doesn't seem to want to stay put, though. Happens, I rotate my arm. You did a good job with the stitches. Thanks. He flashes a soft smile, then looks to Zayden. Your turn. Damn. It's fine. Zayden's arm is red and angry along the deep gash that required 14 stitches. It's not fine. I step into his space and examine the cut. I brought some Lauren salve in Brennan's med kit. It will help with the inflammation and fight off any minor infection. But we need to get it on you in the next few hours. Wind gusts peppering our legs with sand. And I turn my back to the breeze, sheltering Zayden's arm as much as possible. Let's wait until we're out of the sand. He nods and quickly wraps the wound. Because that wouldn't work, Mira snaps at Drake as they walk over with Garrick and Dane, who sidesteps a dead bird. Yuck. It really would, Drake says to her with a grin that would probably charm anyone else, but just seems to enrage my sister. You pull a 2-pronged Pelson flight formation, and Wyvern would pick you off twice as fast for dividing your forces in that environment. Mira shakes her head. Zayden and I slip our jackets back on. You clearly don't understand Pelson. Drake lifts his hand toward his cousin. Tell her, Kat. In a contained environment, a Pelson maneuver. I'm not telling Mira shit. Kat shakes her head. It's like arguing with Serena. Oh, come on, Marin. Someone be on my side here. Drake pleads. Marin winces. Have you seen her right hook?
I have. Drake admits.
I know Pelson, Mira argues, crossing to my left. I've studied Pelson at length because it was my job to beat your maneuvers for years. And you have no real-world examples to prove your theory. Just stop talking. She looks me over like she expects new wounds. I'm fine, I tell her.
Drake, you're starting to annoy me, Zayden warns with a sideways glance. You should stop that.
His tone ices over. Garrick glances my way and his mouth tenses. Surely something that innocuous wouldn't trigger,
we have company,
Taryn alerts. I yank my focus forward to find half a dozen people strolling onto the thick wooden walkway that connects the beach to the market. Zayden? He lifts his head and moves closer to me. The group is dressed in tunics and gowns of various pastel colors. The one-shoulder fashion, something I've only seen in history books or on stage. Fabrics billow in the breeze as they come closer, all staring up at the dragons in awe.
They're incredible,
the middle-aged man in front says in the common language with a toothy smile. His hair bears 2 strips of silver amid red curls.
And well worth the walk to the beach to welcome you.
The intricate metallic embroidery of his tunic speaks to money, as does the sparkling red gem at the top of his cane. It's the brightest pop of color I've seen on the isle so far.
And you might be? Zayden asks.
Where are my manners?
The man places an empty hand over his heart.
I'm
Ferris, the second of the triumvirate. The other two enjoy standing on ceremony, of course, but I see no benefit in waiting to meet you, and therefore am here.
He bows slightly, then lifts his gaze as he straightens. I blink and fight against the urge to stare. His eyes are so blue, they're actually purple. And here I'd thought Dad had written that part of the tome in hyperbole.
Welcome to Hidotis, he turns his smile on me. You have very unusual eyes, not entirely blue or green or gold, but an amalgamation of all. Fascinating.
I was just thinking the same thing about you, I admit.
Mine are quite common on our isle, he says. I've brought my household to formally make your acquaintance and escort you through our beautiful city. If you're amenable, we have room for you to rest at our home on the northeast shore.
He gestures up the beach, then glances back over his shoulder.
Darling, won't you come say hello? I apologize for my wife. Talia seems to be overcome by your magnificent dragons.
I'm here, my love, Talia says as she walks up the pathway behind him, her pale green gown and long black hair catching in the breeze. She moves to his side, then quickly laces their fingers before lifting her gaze. Her dark brown eyes settle on Zayden immediately, and they flare in blatant, palpable shock.
Is there a problem?
Ferris asks. She studies Zayden with a desperate intensity that puts us firmly in awkward territory. And Zayden must feel the same, given that he's practically petrified into a piece of stone beside me.
Oh, shit.
Garrick's face drains of color.
Zayden?
Talia whispers, lifting her hand, then quickly dropping it.
Is it really you?
My eyebrows hit my fucking hairline. Zayden reaches across me and wraps his hand over my hip like I need protection.
Mom?
An excerpt from Hidotis, Isle of Hedion by Captain Asher Sorengale. It has been the experience of my lifetime to spend these months with others who value knowledge just as reverently as I do. But though their intelligence and their wisdom inspire me, their artifice terrifies me. Chapter 34. Of all the ways I'd envisioned getting to know Zayden's mother, holding her at bay in a bedroom doorway of her own house while her son refuses to see her, definitely never came to mind. This is very kind of you. I balance the silver tray of snacks she's just delivered on one hand and grip the golden doorknob with the other. I'll be sure he gets these, and thank you for sending our missives. Having seen renderings of Fenn Ryerson, I can definitely say that Zayden takes after him in looks. But there are traces of Talia, too. Zayden shares her high cheekbones, her long eyelashes, and even the shape of her ears. But it's the gold flecks in their eyes that make the biological link undeniable. Hopefully Andarna's kind will know how to bring the gold back fully in Zayden's. It was lucky a ship bound for Devarelli was in the harbor to take your correspondence. Talia uses her considerable height advantage to peer over my head into our bedroom with eyes so full of longing that pity wraps around my ribcage, then constricts. I was hoping he might want to talk.
He definitely does not.
He's resting. I force a quick, sympathetic smile and pull the door closer, narrowing her scope of vision.
What about dinner? He should meet the rest of the family.
What an awful idea. He's been nearly catatonic since this morning, and she wants to throw a party with people he's never met?
I'll ask, but that might be a lot for him to... We'll keep it small, then.
Talia's face falls with her gaze, and she purses her lips, forming little golden brown lines around her mouth.
I was so young when he was born, she whispers, staring at the doorframe. Still young when the contract expired.
I never thought I'd get to see him again. And now that he's here...
Tears fill her eyes as she slowly looks at me.
You understand, right?
What in Amari's name am I supposed to say to that? Of course I can't understand how anyone would leave him, but...
Tell her the truth. He loathes her,
Taryn suggests,
as does Sigale. The Lifegiver is lucky she wasn't scorched this morning, though I do believe Sigale is still contemplating her options.
Because that would be great for international relations, considering who Talia is married to.
That's his mother, Andarna argues. What would you do, Violet?
I'm not the person to ask about motherly relationships, I reply. Grief slices quick and deep, giving strength to the pity that's stretching its viney little tethers toward my heart.
I understand wanting to know him, I tell Talia. He is spectacular in every way.
Then you'll let... She steps toward me. Dinner, I say, standing my ground.
I'll see if he's willing to have dinner. But if he isn't, you're going to have to respect that too.
You push, and he'll shove back twice as hard. She braces her hand on the doorframe and shifts her eyes in thought.
What if I can promise you'll get a meeting with the full triumvirate? That's what you need, right? Maybe I can give you some answers they'll look for to evaluate your acumen?
I blink, and pity recedes an inch. What I need is for Zayden to be all right. If that means setting this house on fire and leaving without accomplishing anything else on this aisle, then I'll hand him a torch.
Damn, this tray is getting heavy.
Her posture softens, and she steps out of my space, her hand falling to her side.
You must love him to prioritize his feelings over your mission, she says quietly, like it's a revelation.
Yes, I nod. It's nothing compared to the way he risked Aracia for me.
He risked Aracia, she whispers through a watery smile. Then he loves you too. His father never would have.
She shakes her head, and her hair rustles against the back of her gown.
Doesn't matter. Having dinner with him would be more than I'd ever hoped for.
I'll send someone up in a few hours to see if he's willing to join us. Thank you. I wait until she heads down the long, cream-colored hallway, then shut the door and turn the lock just in case. Then I take the tray in both hands and go find Zayden. The room they gave us is obviously meant for guests of distinction. It has high, vaulted ceilings, intricately carved furniture, sophisticated artwork, and a bed that could easily sleep four people. Everything is cream with touches of pale green and gold, all perfect in a way that borders on too pretty to touch. Our black flight jackets look sorely out of place draped across the chair of the delicate desk, and our packs and boots are so dirty I insisted on leaving them in the attached bathing chamber. The carpet is soft under my bare feet as I cross the spacious room and open one of the double glass doors onto the covered veranda. The high balcony links with the four other bedrooms to the right on this side of the house, so it's no surprise to find Garrick sitting on the edge of the balustrade with Riddick, their backs to the ocean. But it does surprise me to find the cushioned love seat empty. Riddick lifts his brows at me and tilts his head to my left, and I take the cue, shimmying between the guys and the decorative table in front of the love seat when they hop off the railing.
Good luck.
Garrick pats my shoulder, and the two retreat down the veranda. I find Zayden on the shaded floor between the love seat and the corner piece of railing where my armor is tied, drying in the ocean breeze. He sits in sparring pants and an undershirt with his back against the wall, bare forearms resting on raised knees, gaze fixed into the distance.
Room for one more down there? I ask.
He blinks, then forces a half smile.
For you, I'll move to the couch.
Don't even think about it. I squeeze in next to the railing, careful not to twist my torso and anger my ribs, then sit and set the tray on the floor in front of me.
These fell out of your pack.
He opens his fist, revealing the two vials Bodhi gave me.
Shit.
Thanks. I take the vials and slip them into my pants pocket.
That little 1-2 combo would definitely help me get my hands on you at home if I didn't think Sigale would torch me for willingly blocking the bond, even temporarily.
I swallow. I should have told you I had it.
You don't owe me an explanation.
He looks me straight in the eye.
I'm glad you have it.
I don't want to lose my connection to Sigale, not when I can still use my signet to fight Venon, especially since you have one obsessively hunting you. But feel free to shove that serum down my throat if at any moment I'm not myself. I'd rather be powerless than potentially hurt you.
He glances down at the tray. My mother?
Nice subject change. She brought you food, but really only wanted to talk to you. Through the gaps in the railing, I look out over the strip of sand that meets the ocean and press my lips into a tight line. While Tern and Andarna sun their scales on the beach, Sigale prowls along the waterline, her head low, her eyes narrowed.
She's pacing for some reason,
Zayden says as Sigale passes by.
Not that I can ask her.
He huffs a self-deprecating laugh.
Not that she'd answer.
She's worried. I look over at his freshly salved wound.
Good. The swelling has decreased a little already. Worrying isn't in her nature. She likes to solve the immediate problem and handle consequences later.
He leans over and plucks a cinnamon-sprinkled dried fig from a crystal bowl, then studies it.
Of course there's fucking sugar on it. Like somehow remembering that one little fact from when I was 7 years old is going to make up for the last 13 years.
He leans again and drops it onto the empty plate, and I remain silent, hoping he'll continue. He's never really talked about his mom before.
And all this time I figured she was living in Poromiel. She never even told me she was from Hidotis. Neither of them did.
He leans his head back against the wall.
Makes sense now, why she never had family visit, why she was so infatuated with all things colorful. The bedtime stories told with arrowmint tea when she would whisper about people with purple eyes who lived without war.
Waves crash against the beach below, and Sigale turns, pacing back toward us.
You should see if she'll hunt with the others, I suggest to Tern. Feel free to ask. I'll watch. Be sure you're near the water so you can put yourself out when she sets you on fire, he replies.
It's a mineral called violadrite, I tell Zayden as he flicks the sugar off his fingers. Dad wrote that it's so prevalent on the isle that it's in everything they eat and drink. It turns paler eye colors purple.
I love that you know that.
He drops his hand to my knee.
Did your dad's eyes change?
Not that I know of. They were always hazel like mine. I smile at the memory. Guess he wasn't here long enough. I still can't figure out when he had time to study the isles. But maybe my grandmother knows, if I ever get the courage to speak with her like Mira did.
We'll only be here long enough to search the isle for Andarna's kind and speak with a triumvirate.
The bruise on his jaw ripples when he clenches his teeth.
And my mother is married to one of them. The irony is poetic.
I twist toward him and wince when my ribs object. She wants to have dinner tonight.
Fuck that.
His expression shifts into the same impenetrable mask he used to wear around me last year.
Zayden.
I cradle the side of his face and stroke my thumb over the edge of his scar.
Don't shut me out.
His eyes flash to mine.
Never.
Sliding an arm behind me, he grabs hold of my hips with both hands and carefully lifts me into his lap.
I can think of far better ways to spend my evening than dinner.
He grazes his teeth along the shell of my ear, and a shiver rolls down my spine.
Can't you?
I gasp at the sudden rush of heat that flares low in my stomach when he kisses the side of my neck, flicking his tongue at the spot he knows turns me into a puddle.
No magic, he reminds me, sliding his hand down my stomach. No danger of losing control.
A whimper escapes my lip as his fingers dip beneath my waistband, mostly because what he suggests sounds fucking fantastic, but partially because I want all of him. I miss the heightened rush from our signets, his shadows flaring, my lightning cracking. The intimacy of lowering every barrier and hearing his voice fill my mind. I need to feel him unravel under my touch. Losing control is part of what makes us, us.
No lumpy bedrolls, he continues, slipping his hand into my pants. No squad mates 10 feet away, no awkward dinners. Just you and me and that bed.
I groan, instantly remembering what we're supposed to be talking about.
As utterly delicious as that sounds.
My fingers dig into his thigh as his mouth toys with my earlobe. Sex is not going to fix the real problem. He sighs, then lifts his head.
I know.
I scramble out of his lap before I change my mind and drag him to our bed. The quick motion has me hissing through the sharp sting as I stand and grasp the railing with both hands facing the water.
Fuck.
Zayden jumps to his feet and wraps his arms around me gently.
I'm so sorry I forgot about your ribs. You shouldn't be flying, let alone have me crawling all over you.
Not flying isn't an option. I breathe in through my nose and out through my mouth as the worst of it passes. And never apologize for touching me. He drops his chin on the top of my head.
I hate that we can't get you mended.
In a life without magic, the best medicine is time. I muse, a smile curving my mouth, as I spot Kat and Traeger walking down the beach, hand in hand.
Look at that. Good for them. He's been pining after her for years.
His hands bracket mine on the railing, and his body heat staves off the chill from the ocean breeze.
How much pain are you in?
I don't want to ask you to sit through dinner if it hurts. I'm not about to be a barrier if he wants to talk to his mother, especially knowing what I would give to have the same opportunity with mine. It's not too bad as long as I don't twist, or breathe too deeply, or lift Endarna. The joke falls flat.
So you can sit through dinner.
The conflict in his voice has me turning in his arms. Only if you want to. I look up at him.
Do you want me to?
He swallows. I'm not making that choice for you. I bring my hands to his chest, trying to remember the last time he was indecisive about anything and coming up short. His eyes narrow and he steps back.
You think I should, don't you?
It doesn't matter what I think, I shake my head. And I'm probably not the best person to give you advice on this.
Because she charmed you in the 3 minutes it took for her to push a tray through the door?
He puts more space between us, retreating down the veranda. Because my mother just died. He stills, and regret instantly washes over his face.
I'm sorry, Violet.
You don't need to be. I'm just saying that I'm not the person to ask if you should spend a night talking to yours, because I would give anything for 10 minutes with mine. I set my hand over my chest like it has a prayer of holding the grief inside where it belongs. I have so many questions, and I would kill for a single answer. Maybe you should talk to Garrick, because any advice I give you would be poisoned by my own grief. You have to do whatever's best for you, whatever you can live with once we leave here. Whatever choice you make will be the right one as far as I'm concerned. You have all my support.
I don't know if there's a right choice. She's not like your mother.
He laces his hands behind his neck as Sigale passes by again, following her own footprints.
I absolutely understand you wanting 10 minutes. I want them for you. Right or wrong, everything your mother did was to protect you and your siblings. She died protecting you.
I know. I swallow the growing lump in my throat.
My mother abandoned me.
His hands drop to his sides.
I know. I repeat in a whisper, my heart breaking all over again for him. I'm so sorry.
How does she?
He points to the door. Deserve my 10 minutes when she fed me chocolate cake on my 10th birthday and vanished later that night. I am the fulfillment of a contract for her. Nothing more. I don't give a shit how she looks at me, or whatever bullshit she undoubtedly spewed at you. The only reason we're in her house is because she's married to one of the triumvirate, and I have no problem using that to get what we need.
My chest cracks a little more with every word, then splits clean open. I knew she'd left, just not how.
And don't think that has anything to do with this. He points to his eye. I'm aware in the moments I lack emotion. You and Garrick don't need to share little oh-no glances. I already feel it. It's like sliding over a frozen lake while a shrinking part of me screams that I'm supposed to be swimming in those pieces I've bartered away. And those feelings are right beneath the surface. But fuck, is skating faster and a hell of a lot less messy. This shit? He swings his finger back toward the house. It's messy and painful and infuriating. And if I could choose to give this portion of myself away, so help me, Malik, I would.
I get it now. It's not just the power that's addicting. It's the freedom to not feel this.
Zayden, I whisper, all but bleeding out by the time he finishes. Steam billows over the veranda, and our heads whip in the direction of the beach, where Sigale stands the width of Tarn away with a curled upper lip, glaring at Zayden.
Stop pacing and eat something, he begs her. I know you're hungry, and I can't stand that you're hurting this far from magic, so alleviate some of the pain and go hunt. I'm all right.
She drops her jaw and roars so loud my ears instantly ring.
The glass doors bow, and the little table trembles before she snaps her teeth shut. 3 iris birds fly out of the tree on my left, and 2 dark-haired boys come running out of the house to see what the commotion was.
Sigale,
Zayden says softly, walking toward the edge of the veranda. She backs up 3 heavy steps, and my heart stutters as her hind claw nearly tramples one of the boys before she launches skyward over the house. Her tail swings so close, it slices the leaves from the trees before she disappears.
Good thing the iris birds left. At least she didn't set you on fire.
Tarn quickly follows, and Andarna trails after, fighting to fully extend her wing. All of them are struggling without power.
Fuck.
Zayden's eyes slide shut.
Simeon! Gaius! One of the maids runs out of the house 3 stories beneath us, holding her skirts high as she sprints across the sand. Are you all right? She asks in Hidotic.
That was amazing!
The older boy shouts in kind, lifting his fists toward the sky. We can leave, I offer Zayden, crossing the distance between us and winding my arms around his waist. Right now.
My mother is having our uniforms laundered.
He brushes the loose strands of my braid behind my ears. So we'll be cold. Say the word and we'll go. I turn my cheek and rest my ear against his heartbeat. You're all that matters to me.
Same.
He drops his chin to the top of my head.
We can't just skip an entire aisle, he grumbles, splaying his hands over my back. We disobeyed direct orders to be here.
We can. I listen to the steady rhythm of his heart and watch the maid fuss over the boys as they walk back toward the house. The riot hunts, does a pass to make sure Andarna's kind hasn't chosen the blandest aisle ever to call home, and we go. Hidotis
hasn't entered a war or aligned itself with any kingdom at war in its recorded history. They aren't going to help us. I run my hand up and down his spine. And you know where your mother is now. If you ever feel the need, you can come back. They're your 10 minutes, too. And you're not hoping... His words end abruptly as Talia runs out of the house beneath us, fisting the fabric of her gown. Boys! She screams in Hidotic as she races to the edge of the stone patio, then yanks the children into her arms. You're all right! She pulls back and gives them the same once-over I usually earn from Mira after a battle. We're great, the older assures her with a wide grin. Right, Gaius?
Mama, you should have seen it roar,
the younger one adds with a bob of his head.
Mama, my stomach drops straight out of my body as I hope I have that word wrong.
Zayden tenses, and I hear his heart begin to race. I heard it roar, and that was excitement enough, Talia tells the boys, running her hands over their hair and down the sides of their faces.
But you're all right. You're all right,
she repeats with a nod.
Elda, will you get them cleaned up? The Triumvirate is joining us for dinner, and Faris's parents would like the boys to spend the night there.
Of course, the maid replies, then ushers the children into the house. Talia remains, her shoulders trembling as she catches her breath.
What did she say?
Zayden asks. The Triumvirate is coming to dinner. I start with the easiest part first. And the boys...
They're hers, aren't they?
His tone slips into icy disdain.
Yes, I whisper, holding him tighter as Talia returns to the house without looking up.
The older is probably, what, 11?
His arm drops.
No wonder she never came back. She didn't just marry. She built a whole new family.
There's nothing amused about his laugh.
I'm so sorry.
I pull back to look at him, but his expression is flat.
You did nothing wrong.
He steps out of my arms, and it feels frighteningly poignant as he slips away.
This feeling is one I would gladly exchange.
It's not just the power that's addicting. It's the freedom to not feel this.
His words play back in my head, and a new fear takes root, burrowing insidiously in the pit of my stomach. Does he know I've brought my new conduit? That there's a fully charged piece of alloy in my pack?
Don't barter it away, I beg as he stares at the sea, and the words spill out of me faster and faster as his eyes harden and he resurrects the defenses it took me a year to break past. The pain, the mess, give it to me. I'll hold it. I know that sounds ludicrous, but I'll find a way. I lace our fingers. I will hold everything you don't want to feel because I love every part of you.
You already hold my soul, and now you want my pain?
Getting greedy, Violence.
He brings my hand to his mouth and brushes a kiss over my knuckles before letting go.
Fuck it. Dinner with my mother sounds great. Think I'll wash up first.
He leaves me standing on the veranda, my thoughts racing more rapidly than Tairn could ever fly. The Triumvirate is coming to dinner. They'll test us tonight.
They sent the kids away. Do they think we're dangerous? Or are they?
We need an edge. What would Rhee or Brennan do?
Shit. What did I bring with me?
Brennan sent the med kit. I need Mira. And Darna, when those boys leave the house, I need you to follow as invisibly as you can, I say down the bond.
Are we scheming? I do enjoy scheming.
We're planning. 2 hours later, I hold the precious glass vial with both hands as Mira and I head downstairs. Now is not the time to be clumsy. We quickly find Talia in the dining room, discussing dinner with a spindly man in a pale green apron who scrubs at his nails with a blue-edged towel.
Violet,
Hope lights her eyes, and she dismisses the man before walking our way.
Did you ask him?
Her gaze darts toward Mira. My sister folds her arms and studies the table. He said dinner sounds great, I tell Talia. It's not exactly a lie. My hands twist around the glass, shielding its contents from view. The rest will be flying, but six of us can make it. And I thought this might serve as a peace offering between us, and maybe, I press my lips in a line and look down at the vial. Stop debating and just give it to her, Mira orders with an exasperated sigh. My sister is too polite to suggest that it might help smooth the waters and make tonight a little less awkward for those involved. Remind Zayden of home and all that. Talia lifts her brows, and I hand over the vial and its dehydrated light green leaves. She takes the gift with a bewildered smile. Is this? Dried arrowmint, I reply.
God bless Brennan.
An excerpt from Major Rorally's Guide to Appeasing the Gods, 2nd edition. The god of wisdom is the trickiest to placate. Hedion seems to only answer to those who do not pray to him. Chapter 35. The dining room is just as monochromatic as the rest of the house, and the three people seated across the circular table would blend into the pale green wall entirely if not for their heads. Nairi, Roslyn, and Ferris are dressed in what my father described as sacred ceremonial robes. They look a little too close to scribe robes for comfort, even if they're pastel green and their hoods aren't up. Out of the 10 people at the table, Talia seems the most on edge, sitting next to Ferris, and Zayden somehow appears completely in his element at my side. Gone are the quick flashes of smiles and tender touches. The man sitting next to me in his freshly laundered uniform more resembles the one I met at the parapet on conscription day than the one I fell in love with. He's so cold, I half expect the temperature around us to plummet. Five servers are spread among us, each with a hand on a silver dome covering our plates. My stomach churns as Ferris flicks his wrist. The servers respond to the nonverbal command, lifting the domes covering our dinner. Don't be a head, don't be a head, don't be a head, I chant under my breath, but from the sideways glance Arik sends from my right, I'm guessing I'm not as quiet as I think. Thankfully, my plate steams with roasted chicken, potatoes, and some kind of stuffing mixed with what appears to be cauliflower. No heads.
And we're served, Ferris announces in the common language.
We thank Hedion for this meal, Nairi says, also using the common language. For the peace in our land, the wisdom he sees fit to gift, and the satisfaction of thriving relationships. We offer to him private confession of our day's error in sacrifice. May only our minds know hunger.
May only our minds know hunger, the Hedotics repeat.
And I'm somehow not surprised when Arik doesn't miss a beat.
Let's eat, Ferris suggests, picking up his crystal goblet teeming with chilled arrowmint tea and gesturing in my direction. And thank you for your gift. My Talia is quite delighted to serve it.
I'm happy to bring her joy, I reply, and an awkward silence follows as he holds his goblet aloft like he's waiting for something.
She's welcome. Zayden takes a deep drink of his tea and sets it down a little harder than necessary.
Ferris's smile slips, but then he drinks too. We all do, but it doesn't ease the awkwardness as we begin to eat.
How do you find our city?
Roslyn asks, her brown eyes crinkling at the corners when she smiles.
Hard to say, considering we haven't seen it.
Mira plucks a lemon slice off the edge of her plate and tosses it into the glass.
Hopefully we can change that tomorrow,
Rosalind replies, studying Mira like she's found a worthy opponent for a chess match. After we pass your test, I ask, that's what this is, right? We're not in a formal setting, as is custom, nor are there witnesses, but you're testing us. Kat sets her silverware on her plate, but Arik digs into his chicken, completely unfazed.
Talia will serve as witness, Nairi slices into a potato. And we thought an informal setting would be best, given the delicate nature of relations.
Talia's shoulders curve inward.
You mean in case I embarrass my mother in a public setting with my lack of wisdom?
Zayden leans back in his chair and extends his arm over the back of mine.
Is that your fear, Mom?
No.
Talia's gaze jumps to Zayden and her spine straightens.
My reticence about tonight is due to my own shame, in that I asked Ferris for a personal favor so that you might be more comfortable during the conversation. I don't worry about your intelligence, Zayden. You were always a bright boy.
Her hand trembles as she reaches for her goblet.
Tell me something. When you die, do your dragons?
Ferris asks, changing the subject. Depends on the dragon, I answer, but usually no.
Griffins do, Kat adds. They bond for life.
Ferris blinks.
To tie your life to another's, especially something as frail and easily breakable as a human, seems a foolhardy thing to do.
His brow furrows.
You respect your griffin for this choice?
I respect her for who she is, and trust whatever decisions she makes, Kat replies. Griffins and their sacrifice to bond humans have allowed us to win the Great War, and to survive centuries of war after that.
Spoken like a royal,
Nairi's eyes narrow on Kat.
Talia says you are in line for the throne of Poromiel.
If Queen Mariah does not choose to have children, then my uncle will rule, and eventually my sister will be an excellent queen.
She picks up her fork and knife in a manner that dares them to argue. Nairi's gaze flickers from Kat to Zayden to Arik.
So many young royals here. So many potential alliances. Why are you not contracted to one another? It seems foolish not to forge futures and provide heirs who could unite your kingdoms.
The chicken goes dry in my mouth, but Mira shoots me a can-you-believe-these-people look that steadies my heartbeat. My brother will be king, Arik says, slicing through his chicken like this is any normal dinner, though a horrible one. Heirs and alliances aren't my concern. I will fight in this war, most likely die, and do so knowing that I protected others.
Honor has never been the equal of wisdom.
Nairi sighs, then looks to Zayden.
And your excuse? We received news months ago that your title had been restored to you.
Which means they have current information. They knew about the rebellion, about Fenn's execution. I breathe deeply to help cool the instant scorching anger that burns up my throat and level a less than friendly look on Talia.
She knew, and she left him there, didn't even go back.
Zayden stabs a piece of potato with his fork but keeps his arm around my chair.
Well then, as you know, I'm a duke, not a prince.
Tirindor is the largest province of Navarre,
Talia tells the triumvirate, rushing to her son's defense.
Much of its territory lies beyond their wards, so its allegiance to the kingdom has always been weaker than others. It would not surprise me to find that in the course of this war, Tirindor regains its sovereignty, which is why a lifetime alliance, her smile fades and she glances at Zayden and me, was secured. But you're not.
Zayden chews slowly, then swallows as everyone stares at him. I don't owe you an explanation about my love life. Talia flinches, then sets her hands in her lap, but her focus strays to Kat.
For God's sake,
Kat mutters, abandoning her silverware again.
I said yes, he said no. He met Violet, and now they're... them. They happen to be two of the most powerful riders on the continent. So in that way, his alliance with her is perhaps wiser. The two of them could break and reshape the continent if they chose to. And besides, I'm with someone else now.
My chest constricts in stunned gratitude, but she only rolls her eyes when I look her way.
Breaking such an advantageous alliance is...
Nairi shakes her head at Zayden.
Unwise.
Oh, shit. Dinner churns in my stomach. They're not judging our intelligence, they're dissecting life choices.
But easily remedied,
Ferris says, looking at Nairi and Roslyn.
It would show great wisdom and dedication to their respective titles, were they to contract for 4 years?
Roslyn nods.
Long enough to secure an heir for Tirindor and put Peromish blood in the line.
I'm going to be sick. Garrick huffs a sarcastic laugh.
If bloodlines equaled allegiance, we wouldn't be sitting here under interrogation.
He glances to Talia at his right.
He is your son, right?
She chugs the tea to the bottom of the glass.
A contract marriage would be most wise.
Nairi agrees with a nod, ignoring Garrick's words.
We could have the legalities performed in the morning at Temple, then hear what will, no doubt, be a plea for our assistance in their war tomorrow afternoon.
Wood creaks behind me.
Draw up the papers, Zayden says, gripping my chair.
Bile rises in my throat. What the fuck is he doing? Kat's head snaps in our direction. Mira and Garrick both gawk, and Arik continues eating.
I want the damned bond back now.
Ha ha, there we go. Ferris claps twice. What an excellent decision. Shall we go with 3 or 4 years?
Lifetime. Anything less is unacceptable.
Zayden slides his hand to the back of my neck.
And her full name for the papers is Violet Sorengale. 2 R's.
I'm torn between throwing a dagger at his chest and kissing the shit out of him. Mira stifles a grin.
My last name is tied to the title, but we could take yours, Zayden offers, and his eyes soften just slightly when they lock on mine.
You could hyphenate, Garrick suggests, or combine. Ryergale, Sorensen.
That is not what they meant, I whisper at Zayden.
I don't give a fuck what they meant, he responds at full volume, and his fingers drift up and down the back of my neck as he faces the triumvirate. You may question our knowledge, test our honor and dedication as riders and flyers, serve up riddles, fake scenarios, chess games for all I care. But if you think I'm going to leave the only woman I've ever loved to contract marriage with the woman I do not get along with, then the lack of wisdom is yours. Not mine.
It's only 3 years, Talia begs, panic rising in her eyes. And then you'd be back together. Surely the potential of our alliance, of sharing our knowledge, would make the sacrifice worthwhile. Think of Tirindor.
Zayden leans forward and his hands slip from my neck.
You cannot contemplate the things I have sacrificed for Tirindor. I lost my father, my freedom, my very...
He cuts himself off, and I glance at the floor, half expecting to see shadows swirling at his feet.
Violet is the only choice I've made for myself. I won't sacrifice her for 3 years, not for a single day.
You would know that if you hadn't abandoned me, if you knew me at all.
I didn't want to leave you,
she shakes her head, and Ferris's brows knit in disapproval.
Your father wouldn't let me take you. Do not speak of my father. I am the one who watched him die.
Zayden points to the relic that stretches up his neck.
You left a child to face down a war you knew was coming, on a continent you knew was infested with dark wielders. I couldn't take you, she repeats. You are Tirindor's heir. You could have stayed, he retorts,
and my heart aches at the ice in his tone that I know masks his true hurt.
You could have been my mother.
I slide my hand onto his knee, wishing it was possible to take some of his pain.
They would have executed me right next to your father, or in secret, as was done to Mari's husband. I did what I thought best, she argues.
For you. A mocking corner of his mouth lifts. I'll admit, you've done well for yourself. Who needs to be the Dowager Duchess of Tirindor when you can be the wife to a member of the Triumvirate?
Mother of two, live on a peaceful beach in a peaceful city, on an isle that serves no greater good than its own. This heated show of emotion during an interview is unbecoming,
Nairi mutters, then forks the last bite of her chicken.
The interview ended before it began, Mira says, twirling the stem of her goblet between her fingers. You don't care that Violet is the smartest person in this room, or that Zayden tore apart Basgaiath to save her, then returned to fight for Navarre because it was the right thing to do, or that Kat lives in the most hostile environment possible to help her kingdom. You don't care that Arik had to step into the light he hates so we'd have a royal representative, or that Garrick has stood by Zayden's side no matter the cost. We proved our lack of wisdom by coming here in the first place. You were never going to share your knowledge or ally yourself with us.
True.
Nairi pulls a jade stone from her robe and sets it in front of her plate.
And the first true piece of wisdom spoken here, which piques my interest.
Now tell me, what do you think of our city? Mira glances at me, and I get the message. My turn. From the air, it seems laid out perfectly. I sit up straight. It's a collection of exquisitely proportioned neighborhoods, all with central meeting places for markets and gatherings.
It is perfect,
Rosalind agrees, rolling her own jade stone over her knuckles. And cruel. I give my assessment with a flat tone Zayden should be proud of. He covers my hand with his and laces our fingers together. Rosalind grasps the stone and places her hand in her lap.
Please, do go on.
It's more of a threat than a request. You raised an existing city to build what stands now, did you not?
We improved our capital, yes.
Rosalind's eyes narrow. The smaller towns should have their rejuvenations complete by the end of the decade. And in doing so, you destroyed the historical base of the city, homes your citizens had lived in for generations. Yes, it's beautiful and efficient, but it also shows your intolerance for things that are not. I swallow hard. I find it perplexing, too, that you don't seem to have a port.
It is unwise to venture over water when we know next to nothing about what lurks within its depths,
Ferris flusters.
They're aquaphobic?
Rosalind holds up her hand.
Are we supposed to take criticism from a group who doesn't seem to know the name of their own continent?
A deep breath disturbs my ribs painfully, and Zayden's hand tightens.
Amaralis.
That's what both other isles have called us. Of course, every other isle worships one member of the pantheon, and though we celebrate all, we hold one above all others, Amari.
It's Amaralis, according to ancient royal records, though I believe Peromish records called it Amalekis. The only thing our kingdoms ever agreed on was calling it the continent after the Great War. Arik says, finally putting his silverware down after cleaning his plate. Rather arrogant of us to simply refer to it as the continent, as though there aren't others beyond the sea. But we've been torn apart by war for so long, it's hard for anyone to think that we are one anything.
For fuck's sake, what else is Arik holding on to?
You're rather quiet for someone who seems to know so much.
Nairi remarks.
I prefer keeping my mouth shut until I understand the rules of whatever game is aiming for my throat. Helps me judge the character and acumen of my opponent.
He looks at each of them in turn. Honestly, I find you lacking.
And I'm not sure I want you for an ally. You have no army, and you're stingy with the very thing that should be free to all, knowledge.
And yet you seek our favor,
Nairi's eyebrows shoot up, and she blinks rapidly.
Me?
Arik shakes his head.
No.
I'm just here because Halden can't control his temper, and Violet didn't just bond one of our most terrifying battle dragons, but also an Irid, the seventh breed. Dark wielders are spreading. People are dying as we sit here. Every day we're gone could change the battle map in ways we can't begin to predict. And my kingdom is full of assholes who won't take refugees under king's orders. So tracking down the Irids is our best hope of not only adding to our numbers, but maybe figuring out how we beat the Venon 600 years ago. If you fit into that solution with all your wisdom, then great. If not, it seems all we're accomplishing here is dragging out family resentment and judgment, which we get plenty of at home. If it were up to me, we would thank you for the meal and get out before we discover what you do to people who don't pass your test.
You are the highest member of nobility in your party, Rosalind notes, shifting in her seat with a grimace.
Is it not up to you?
Nobility doesn't play into rank. At least not for me. Arik glances my way. Andarna chose Violet. And though there are four superiorly ranked officers with us, it's Violet's mission. She's in command, and with the exception of her rather questionable taste in men, I've trusted Violet's wisdom since childhood.
Our eyes meet, and I shoot him a small smile.
The door opens and servants pour in. The room falls quiet as they remove our dinner plates and disappear back into what I assume is the kitchen.
You are truly bonded to a seventh breed,
Rosalind asks me. I am. I raise my chin. She was left behind when her kind left the Amaralis.
And we seek them.
Now, are you interested in speaking to us about an alliance?
I am curious.
Rosalind sets her stone in front of her plate.
Two down. You are doing well,
Ferris grins.
Unfortunately, it must be a unanimous decision. And I'm a little more shrewd with my approach. Tell me, if you truly seek knowledge, why do you not worship Hedion? Why would you not take up residence here like others who seek wisdom instead of allyship? Our libraries are unparalleled. Our colleges, centers for learning and culture, not death.
I was taught that wisdom is never to be prayed for, but earned. And as much as I would revel in your library, I'm not interested unless it contains information on the Venon. I shrug. I'm not going to hide on an aisle while the people I love are condemned to death by draining. The door opens behind Ferris again, and a server leans in.
Sir, are you ready for dessert?
We are,
Ferris answers, and the man returns to the kitchen.
Please tell me you've done something with all that chocolate Talia has been stockpiling for weeks. I swear she's bought every shipment that's come in, and you know how rare it is,
Nairi teases. But a second later, her mouth purses and she adjusts in her chair.
Though I'm not sure I'm feeling up for sweets tonight.
Me either,
Rosalind agrees, holding her stomach.
What kind of information?
Ferris prompts me, his smile sharpening.
A weapon to destroy them, perhaps?
She already is one, Zayden remarks as the door opens and Ferris's eyes narrow on me slightly. Servers stream in, then place our dishes on the table in front of us.
Oh, shit.
A silver fork rests beside a perfectly sliced piece of chocolate cake. Zayden's hand goes lax on top of mine.
Is it still your favorite? Talia's voice pitches up with excitement. I know your birthday isn't until the end of the month, but you're here now.
Zayden stares at the cake like Halden stared at Anna's head.
Phyllis,
Ferris calls out to one of the servants as they file back into the kitchen.
It seems the four of us are missing our forks.
Of course, I'll fetch them immediately, the woman replies before the door shuts.
Please, don't wait on our account,
Ferris waves at us.
chocolate's an uncommon treat this far from Devarelli.
And she's been hoarding it for weeks. My mind begins to race. Weeks. She knew we were coming.
I prefer a Devarelli approach to an alliance.
That's what Queen Marlise said. Cortland must have informed the other Isles. Talia knew Zayden was coming. If you don't like it anymore, that's all right. Talia's smile trembles. I've been away from you longer than I was with you, and I know tastes can change. You're an adult now, after all. But just in case yours hasn't, we tried 4 recipes, and I think this one is closest to what we had in Aracia. You used to sneak into the kitchens when the cooks were baking, I remember. Zayden drags his gaze to meet his mother's. And it's still my favorite. That scene on the beach where she acted so surprised was all fake. My stomach sours. This is wrong. Something's wrong. I've missed a detail I shouldn't have. Her smile brightens, and Ferris wraps his arm around her shoulder.
You did well, my love.
He kisses her cheek. My gaze moves to Mira's, and her brow knits. She slides her hand backward on the table, and my heart begins to pound. We're being played. Talia knew Zayden was coming, which means Ferris knew. And he's more shrewd in his approach to testing us. The 4 of them conveniently don't have forks. Something's in the cake. Zayden reaches for his fork, and my fingers dig into his knee. His gaze snaps to mine, 2 lines forming between his brows. I shake my head, then whip out my right and snatch the fork from Arik's grip. Kat drops her silverware, and it rattles on the plate.
This tastes just like home,
Garrick says, lifting another bite to his mouth. Oh, Mari, he's already eaten 1/3 of it. Stop! My heartbeat trips over itself. Garrick pauses, then sets the forkful on the plate.
He said we could start.
He blinks once, then wobbles.
I feel...
Time seems to slow as his eyes flutter shut, and he collapses, falling toward the table.
Garrick!
Zayden shouts, shoving away from the table as Arik lunges, catching Garrick's head before it can hit the surface. Arik's gaze swings wildly toward Zayden.
He isn't breathing!
An excerpt from Hedotis, Isle of Hedion, by Captain Asher Sorengale. The citizenship test for those wishing to reside in Hedotis reminds me of the entrance exam for the Scribe Quadrant, but our test is designed to measure how much a potential cadet has learned. And theirs reads as though to prove how much one has not. Chapter 36. Chairs screech against the stone floor as Mira, Kat, and I stand. Get back here! I shout down the bond, and panic wraps its sharp, nailed hands around my heart and squeezes.
Already en route,
Tarn replies. Is Crod?
Enraged, but not suffering the loss of his rider, from what I can tell.
He just set part of the forest on fire, Andarna adds.
Ryerson, he's not...
Arik starts to repeat. I heard you the first time. Zayden hooks his arms under Garrick's shoulders and hauls him from the chair, then lays him out on the floor and kneels by his side.
What did you put in it?
I ask Ferris, rounding the table. His smile shifts from playful to cruel, but he doesn't answer.
Get Traeger,
Mira orders, and I hear a door open and shut behind me. Zayden presses his ear to Garrick's chest, sluggish but beating.
We need to get him to breathe,
Arik starts. He's fucking blue.
Well aware.
Zayden pinches Garrick's nose shut, then seals his mouth over Garrick's and exhales. Garrick's chest rises. I rock back on my heels and stand, finding Talia staring at Garrick with horror-stricken eyes.
What was in the cake?
I ask her. She startles. Nothing. Her brow furrows as she looks at Garrick's slice, then reaches for hers.
It's just not for you, my dear.
Ferris takes her plate, then winces, tilting his head as he runs a hand over his stomach.
What did you do?
Talia pushes back so quickly her chair falls into the wall behind her, leaving a mark on the pristine surface.
I tested them as you asked,
he tells her with a loving smile.
Here, in the privacy of our home, where they'd be comfortable.
Nairi and Rosalind both nudge their plates away, exchanging annoyed glances as Mira hovers, ready to strike.
You poisoned my son?
Talia shrieks.
Your son was wise enough not to eat it,
Ferris replies.
Our isle can be unforgiving. You should be proud, not angry.
I grab what's left of Garrick's cake and lift it to my nose. It smells like chocolate and sugar and maybe a hint of vanilla, but... There. I breathe deeply, catching a hint of something sickly sweet, like fruit that's been left in the sun too long.
It's still slowing, Arik says, and I glance back to see him lying with his ear against Garrick's chest as Zayden breathes again for his best friend. My mind doesn't race, it flies. It could be anything, powdered and added to the flour, liquefied and mixed in with the eggs, or added to the glaze. It could be indigenous or imported. All I have is Dad's field guide. We're so far out of our depths here that I'm not even sure Brennan could help. Violet, Zayden pleads as our gazes collide. The panic in those onyx depths jars me like nothing else can. I take a deep breath and steady my heartbeat to slow my thoughts. I'll find it, I promise. I won't let him die. Zayden nods and breathes for Garrick again. I smell the cake one last time and set it down, finding Ferris watching us with rapt curiosity. Talia slowly backs herself against the curved wall, wrapping her arms around her middle as she watches Zayden.
Is this the part where you draw a weapon?
Ferris asks me, shifting in his seat. Threaten to kill me if I don't tell you what your hasty friend ingested? No, I lean my hip against the table where Talia should be sitting. This is the part where I tell you I've already killed you. Ferris's smile slips.
And yet I breathe, and your friend does not.
But his body rolls like he's trying to contain a belch, and he covers his mouth. Oh, you'll breathe just fine, I glance at the other three. You all will. It's the vomiting until your bile turns to blood that will kill you. Should start in about 10 minutes. Don't worry, it only lasts about an hour. Kind of a miserable way to go, but I worked with what I had. Nairi lurches out of her chair and drops to her knees, retching onto the floor. Shit, my timing's off, I say to Mira. She had two glasses. Mira wrinkled her nose and retreats a step as Nairi empties the contents of her stomach.
You drank and ate everything we did,
Ferris says, the blood draining from his face. I watched. Not before dinner, you didn't. I drum my fingers on the table. Before dinner, it was just the six of us. Are you curious what I gave everyone for an appetizer as we walked down the stairs? His eyes flare.
You're lying.
You wish. I glance sideways as Talia slides down the wall, muffling a cry with her fist. Time for your test. Do you know why Aran mint is illegal to export? Why it's against the rules to take it outside Aracia?
The fucking tea, Ferris hisses, shooting a glare at Talia.
I lift his empty goblet and turn it upside down. And you drank it all, I tisk at him, then set it back on the table. I'll make you a deal. I was saving this for the unlikely event we failed your test and needed leverage, but you give me your antidote, and I'll give you mine.
You don't get to beat me,
he shakes his head. Anger prickles along my skin. And you don't get to poison my friend with impunity. I tilt my head, refusing to let any of the panic curdling in my stomach show on my face.
Your friend will be dead in the next 20 minutes, and I will still have 40 to see you slaughtered by my guards. You think we won't find the antidote in your room?
His voice rises. The house shudders, and an ear-splitting roar rattles the forks against their plates. I wish you the best of luck. I manage to keep my voice level. You have mediocre guards. I have 10 lethally trained riders and flyers, 4 griffins, and 7 pissed off dragons. The odds are in my favor. Ferris blanches.
How do I know you're not bluffing? That what you've given us is deadly?
You don't, I shrug. But as soon as you or your wife starts vomiting blood, I'm afraid the antidote won't do you any good.
Time's ticking.
The door swings open behind us, slamming into the wall.
Oh, fuck.
Drake immediately sidesteps out of the doorway and Traeger rushes in, the others close behind.
What did they give him?
The flyer asks, dropping to his knees opposite Zayden. Working on that, I tell him.
And I'm failing. Ferris isn't responding to a threat to his own life or even his wife's. It goes against every base instinct I have. I would have forked over the antidote as soon as I'd realized Zayden was in trouble.
Stop thinking like you, Tarn orders. Think like him.
He'd rather die than lose. Fear drips off the edges of every word. He's not going to tell me.
Then stop asking him.
Violet, Zayden shouts. We have to get his heart beating stronger. Traeger puts one hand on top of the other on Garrick's sternum, then forces all his weight down.
Keep breathing for him.
The door opens behind Ferris, and a servant gasps, then slams the door shut and screams. My gaze swings to Mira. I need you to handle everything else in this house that can kill us. Then I look toward the doorway and find Dane standing behind Kat and Riddick. Get my dad's book on Hedotis. It's in my pack on the right side of my bed. Dane nods and takes off running. We seal the house now, Mira orders. There are three doors on this level. Cordella, take the front. Kat and Marin, handle the back by the patio. I'll go for the side. Riddick and Arik, stay with Violet. She draws her daggers and charges past the two sick women and through the servants' entrance to the kitchen. The cook. Riddick, with me! I call back over my shoulder, then race through the door Mira left open and into the kitchen. Five servants stand around a large cluttered table, their hands up at their shoulders, palm facing outward. There are two more at the hearth, one at the wash basin, and two by a stone oven. Where is the cook? They stare back at me. Where is the cook? I repeat, switching to Hedotic. The female servant who just found us trembles as she points to a doorway on her right. I draw two blades and trust Riddick to watch my back as I storm past the workers and into... It's a pantry. Shelves with jars and baskets of fruits line the walls. The spindly man startles and nearly drops what looks to be a jar of pickled eggs. What did you put in the cake? I ask in Hedotic.
What I was instructed to.
He slides the jar.